With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-578-0092, or on Twitter at CLE Talking Heads. Our listeners always come through for us. That Chris Elliott movie you were talking about in the last segment, Jeff, Cabin Boy.
That was it.
Brett reminding us.
Yeah.
Could not remember it. Thank you. We appreciate it, King Brett.
Let's go now to the North Homestead.
Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram Hotline. We bring in our friend, Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night thinking about this preseason schedule and how I was going to rearrange my days, and just I'm so excited that it's out. The only thing that I noticed about this preseason schedule is that it does seem weird. There's a lot of day games going on in this thing that to me seems a little unusual, with a 1 o'clock against Chicago, 2-4 o'clocks, and then finally the week 4 game where nobody plays against Tampa, which is a 7:30 game. I don't know. Do you think they'll even have a preseason, Mary Kay? I wonder what it's going to look like.
You know, no one knows for sure yet. But as I've been saying all along, the NFL is proceeding as though it's going to be business as usual. They plan to probably start training camp, at least in some fashion on time. They plan to play these games. They plan to play a full 16-game schedule, and they plan to have fans in the stands. The only thing we know that they are not doing for sure are the international games. So other than that, as of right now, it's all systems go.
And Mary Kay, it should be, shouldn't it? Until they know they can't do it, just keep rolling with the plan and have contingencies ready to go.
Absolutely. That is the only way that they can proceed right now. They've got to make plans to to host these huge events, to get, TV lined up, to get tickets sold, and to get this thing rolling. So it is really the only way that they can approach it right now. And, of course, they can adjust later if need be.
Mary Kay, talking about the facility being open in Berea, where do the Browns stand on that right now, as far as you know? And what does it mean to not have guys in the facility? Is it that big of a deal, I guess, maybe was the question.
Well, first of all, today is the day that Roger Goodell said teams can partially reopen if states allow. And the Browns would be permitted to do so, but they are still finalizing plans for a safe return to the facility. Now, this wasn't going to include coaches and players to begin with. It was other staffers. So it's not a huge deal in terms of fans and the public, seeing players and coaches filter back into the building. But it would have been, and it will be, one more step towards a season happening. So I think it, they're erring on the side of caution, making sure that they have a safe return to the facility. Again, they are here in Ohio, where Governor Mike DeWine has, sort of taken the lead in really being cautious on how to handle all of this. So I'm sure, and I know that the Browns are working closely with university hospitals, the league, the NFLPA, the governor, the mayor, they're trying to do this right. So they're taking their time right now and not quite ready to be back in the building.
Mary Kay, the Browns have a new right-hand man for Andrew Berry. And then Ryan Grigson also comes in a capacity that's yet to be determined. Your thoughts on the additions to the front office?
Well, I think that Kwesi, his new sort of de facto assistant GM, is with a vice president title. He just comes again from that really solid and strong data background. You know, director of football research and development for the 49ers. This basically furthers and cements the commitment to, a data-based, analytics-based front office. Again, we know that they're marrying that up with traditional football and scouting methods, and that can't be and shouldn't be forgotten. But this is a front office of people that are going to use modern technology, modern statistical analysis and models to run their football team. And I think that this just further confirms that. Also, he went to Princeton. He got one undergrad degree from Princeton. He got his master's from Stanford. So this is another incredibly smart human being. You will never be able to accuse the Browns front office of not being really, really smart. This is an all Ivy League program that they've got going here, and that they're going to use the intellectual side of football to get this thing going.
Mary Kay Cabot's joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There's been all kinds of talk over the last 24 hours about amendments to the Rooney Rule, requiring the league to interview more minority coaching candidates. First of all, your take on this, and I think this is the commissioner double downing on what he said during the draft, or even just right before that, about, hey, we need to really take a look at this and try to implement some things. I don't know your thoughts on this. Maybe giving out extra draft picks. There's a lot of things in play on this amendment to the Rooney Rule.
Well, something needs to be done, and I am all for anything that will promote minority hiring in the NFL at the highest levels. So I am generally all for efforts to do that. I haven't really thought through yet whether how I feel about the draft pick thing. I've seen a couple of people, talk about how, you shouldn't have to, go to that extent to do the right thing. You shouldn't have to force people to do it through a draft. I do wish that there were other ways that people can be enlightened enough to know how vitally important this is without having to be goaded into it like that. The Browns are a team that basically are at the forefront of minority hiring at the highest levels. One of only two African-American general managers right now. And then you look at Kevin Stefanski hiring Callie Brownson as his chief of staff and really basically predicting that she will be a head coach in the NFL someday. I mean, that's fantastic. This is an organization that is committed to hiring minorities in very important places in their organization, and I do applaud them for that. Again, I haven't completely thought through the whole draft pick thing yet. I'm right now sort of leaning towards wishing, hoping that there were a better way to do it without that, but that remains to be seen.
I agree with you on that.
Let me just follow up on one question with this, because I got to tell you, when we sit here and we say, well, the Browns are going to interview X for the head coaching job or X for the general manager job, it's like, well, they can't hire that guy because they haven't fulfilled the Rooney Rule. And, like, I'm bothered by that when we get into that, because it's just like saying, okay, well, let's go find, any minority person and just bring him in here and give him a tour, and we're going to call that an interview. Like, I don't think that's the intent of the rule. And I think just from our when we talk about it, I kind of feel like it's meaningless in some ways. And I don't think it's right. I think you're using people. I don't know that that's the way it plays out, but that's the way it's come off over the last couple of years, at least to me.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and it does have that feel and that vibe in some organizations. It's never really felt that way to me with the Cleveland Browns, especially in the Haslam era. They don't operate that way at all. These are not token interviews that they give to people, and it's unfortunate when that does happen. And that is the thing that needs to change in the NFL. And I'm glad that the Browns, again, are taking a lead role in making sure that, that minorities are not only just interviewed, but hired and put into very, very high places and given the jobs that they deserve in the NFL. So really good for them for that. And, I mean, look at, Andrew Berry wouldn't be here if not for that sort of philosophy, and I'm sure Andrew's going to do a great job, and more people will see that they need to be jumping on, you know, the bandwagon of hiring really good, qualified people to do these jobs. So, you know, there's a long way to go, but it's teams like the Browns that will help others to see that it's the right thing to do.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, last week Andrew Siciliano joined us from the NFL Network, and he made a comment that we've been kicking around in our heads ever since and haven't talked about since, but we're planning to later today. And he said, with everything that's gone on in the NFL because of the virus and you know, no OTAs and everything else, and just because of the whole situation, it's probably more important than ever to have a real viable backup quarterback, a guy that can go in and you know you can win games with. And I thought that was a really interesting comment by him. And clearly the Browns are set in that area. And I don't know if the signing of Case Keenum has gotten enough accolades thrown its way. But I think Andrew made a great point. And I think Case, especially with no OTAs and being familiar with the offense and knowing what he's doing in the NFL, could pay huge dividends for this team. Even if Baker is healthy all year and Case doesn't have to play, I just really like the signing. And he seems like the type of guy who's going to step in and be a huge help for Stefanski and for Baker Mayfield.
Well, I think so. And I think you guys, you know, might remember that I was I was probably the first person to say they need to sign Case Keenum. And I was kind of all over that right from the start, knowing and believing that he was going to be the absolute perfect backup for a number of reasons, including, as you mentioned, helping to implement Kevin Stefanski's system, mentoring Baker Mayfield. And he's just got a great demeanor. I mean, we had a really good interview with him. I just think that he is the right person to help get this quarterback room where it needs to be and help Baker get to where he needs to be with certain kinds of things. He's got a good personality. He's funny. He likes to mix it up and laugh. And I think he'll keep things light and fun. Baker likes that kind of thing too. So I think the energy in the room will be good. But having said that, I think Baker's showing tremendous leadership right now by hosting some of those practices in Austin. It reminds me back when Colt did it back in the Camp Colt days of 2011 of the lockout. And I just think it shows new guys like Jack Conklin, Austin Hooper, that he's taking the initiative to make sure that this season gets started on the right foot.
Mary Kay, with some of these facilities opening up and being able to have medical staff inside, do you think we start seeing a little bit more movement of some of the free agents who are still out there, including Jadeveon Clowney?
You know what? Maybe that will give people more confidence to sign a player like that, you know, is coming off of an injury and that they need to get him in the building and see if they can take a good look at him. That could be a situation with him. Not really sure if the medicals are what are holding it up or the money. I mean, he's been wanting about $17 million a year. So I think until that number comes down a little bit, that the Browns probably might not be in the sweepstakes at that point. But a couple of things probably could open up for other guys now that the buildings are opening.
Mary Kay, when you heard the Steelers' James Harrison say on a podcast that after his big hit on Muhammad Massaqua, Mike Tomlin gave him an envelope, your reaction was what?
It just sounded implausible to me. I mean, you know, the Steelers really are an incredibly professional organization. They do things the right way. I could never see Mike Tomlin doing something like that, where it seemed to be implied on that podcast, at least, that it was some sort of pay to injure envelope. Of course, he came out afterwards, James Harrison did, and said that was ludicrous that anybody could have thought that's what he meant. And the Steelers have vehemently denied it. So I think it was a misunderstanding. I think he spoke out of turn and put something out there that made people believe something, or at least think something could have happened that really didn't happen. And it seems to have blown over fairly quickly because of the way everyone responded to it. But my initial thought was no way.
Do you think this reaction is, I mean, he came out and said he handed me an envelope. I mean, I don't know it doesn't matter. I don't know how the league can't look into that, whether it seems like it's blown over or not. doesn't the league have to look into that?
Well, I think they will have an obligation to look into it. When a claim like that is made and very publicly like that and then obviously goes viral, and then you've got Sean Payton weighing in and saying that the league probably won't look into it, I do think it's something that needs to be addressed. I think that that the Steelers, and knowing the Steelers and covering the Steelers all of these years, I'm sure they will have a conversation with Mike Tomlin about it, or already have, to make sure that nothing like that happened. So people will look into it, but I just think it just seems to me that James Harrison was speaking out of turn there.
I don't know. It's a silly thing to lie about. I mean, that's the hard part. I mean, he was just like, yeah, he handed me an envelope after that. Okay.
Well, you can be handed an envelope for you can get fined by your head coach. I mean, we don't know what he meant there. And so until more comes out, we really won't know. But I really have a hard time believing that in light of everything that's gone on in the NFL, that Mike Tomlin would have handed him a pay to injure bonus. I'm just not buying it.
It kind of felt like he was trying to cover the fine for him. That was the kind of the undertone that I thought. That's what I got from that interview. That it wasn't. It was either he was paying him to hit the guy or Masqua, or he was trying to cover the fine. I don't know. The only person that really knows is James Harrison and Mike Tomlin, if it's true or not. I hope the league looks into it. That's all.
Yeah, whatever happened, I'm sure it was within league rules, because I can't imagine Mike Tomlin jeopardizing the Steelers, their reputation, and all of those things to do something the way that it seemed like James Harrison was implying he did it. So I'm sure more will come out about this, but I don't think it's what it first seemed.
Sounds good, Mary Kay. We appreciate it. Of course, we're reading you every day in the plaindealerincleveland.com, and we'll read you first thing in the morning as well. So thank you, Mary Kay, or whenever news breaks. Appreciate it, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.